Papi, ¿cómo está?
Oh, estoy bien. ¿Y tú? Bien,
bien, bien, papi.
It's interesting that you should say that, Pablo, because my father was just saying that he has to badly go to the bathroom and we need to hurry up around here. So welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Lebatard. He's got a bladder problem. I'm not sure it's actually the bladder, though. He might be gone for a minute. Dominique Foxworth and Pablo Torre. Let's get started.
What are your thoughts on Myles Garrett's interview with Mina?
It seems clear that Myles Garrett himself believes that he heard something, and I believe that he believes that he heard something, but that does not mean that Mason Rudolph said something. There was a misunderstanding here somewhere, possibly, and here's Myles Garrett returning from suspension. He has been cleared to start next season, telling Mina Kimes some of his thoughts on the matter.
Let's go back to November 14th. Walk me through what happened.
Coming off the edge, there's probably like 10, there's less than 15 seconds left, I remember that. And I didn't want to be on the field, but you know, since I was already out there, they were still throwing the ball, decided I was going to go make a play. So he still had the ball. He's winding back to throw. I'm going, you know, to hit him in the strike zone. No, I'm not trying to do anything illegal. I go to take him down. He says some words as we're going down.
What did he say to you?
He called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't say the N-word, whether it's, you know, with A, E-R. To me, personally, it just shouldn't be said. And when he said it, you know, it kind of sparked something, but I still tried to let it go and still walk away. Once he came back, it kind of, reignited the situation.
He denied that he said what you're alleging, and then after your initial appeal, it leaked out, and you said, I wish this didn't get out at all. Mm. Why was that?
Because I didn't want to try to use it as justification for my actions, because there's nothing to justify. Like, there's nothing that I can say or do to justify what I did on that day. I'm not saying there's nothing to justify it, and I didn't do anything wrong. And I know what know what happened. I know what I heard. He said it, but that was 3 months ago, 4 months ago now. I leave that behind.
That was an amazing second shot at the end there. I love the slow motion shot of Mason Rudolph and some of the great video that we have. And we're very thankful to Mina for getting this story so that we could keep playing that video while worrying about America's children, because that video was so violent that we all overreacted to it. The thing that I find interesting here, guys, is he needs an ally somewhere, because he also said in that interview that maybe some microphone somewhere could have picked it up, and that maybe those microphones then disappeared and that sound disappeared. He needs one person on that field to support his claim for us to be able to believe that it was something that actually happened. But I do believe that he thinks it happened, because Myles Garrett, by all accounts, is not someone who reacts that way. That was a man who was enraged. That was a man who was not applying logic that you find amid rage. And that's what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's hard to judge anybody, Myles Garrett or Mason Rudolph, on any action, whether he said or didn't say it, or whether he did swing the helmet. And so you think of, like, the breadth of their experiences. And I come away feeling like Myles Garrett, before this interview, I thought of him as, like, a smart, really likable guy. That moment happened. Afterwards, I still see him in that interview, and I'm like, man, this is a smart, likable guy. It lends me to want to forgive him to whatever degree that it matters that I forgive him. But then you pile on top of it that he had a spate of kind of on-field penalties, nothing that rose to this level. But overall, I feel like this is the game of football. Sometimes these things bubble over. We shouldn't forgive it. You should get suspended for it. But our reaction to it was a bit intense, and I'm happy to see that he's reinstated.
Yeah, our outrage about this story is such a spasm. Like, all of our outrage, honestly, in American life today is spasmic. It is blindingly intense, and we all feel things very strongly. And then, like, I don't know, 48 hours later, we don't even recognize the version of ourselves that suggested that Myles Garrett should be in prison. So all of us obviously went beyond the pale in terms of how we talk about this story. But now this story reminds me of another dynamic in American life. I have no idea what happened, but I have plausible reasons to believe that everybody here is lying. I can believe it for Myles Garrett because this action was so insane, he needs to clear his conscience publicly in some way. I believe that the NFL actually does have microphones because they have no business incentive to present the tapes, because what good does that do for the business of football? And obviously Mason Rudolph does not want to say that he said this. His attorney, his agent, came out and said again that he vehemently denies this. All of which leaves us with a great mystery and no satisfaction, which is kind of how the story actually started.
By the way, shout out to Mina Kimes for committing to journalism in a way that Pablo Torre hasn't done in years. She got on a flight. She went and got an exclusive. And look at this guy. All he did today for his journalism career is put a flower on his vest.
And what exactly are you doing here, Dan, beyond sitting in the middle of the screen as the character who convinced me to worship at the altar upon which you defecate every day?
Who has written more recently, you or me? I think I had a Dwayne Wade column on ESPN.com more recently than you.
Hey, guys.
Does the wedding journalism off for you count?
What does Chris Jones's disrespect towards Tom Brady tell you about Chris Jones and Tom Brady?
I love some of these stories of the on-field talk. For example, Ted Williams, the giant defensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills a long time ago, was saying at the bottom of a pile, hello, hello, hello to Ricky Williams. Hello, hello. And Ricky thought it was strange trash talk. He was just saying hello. He just wanted Ricky to say hello back. And so here you have some sound. This guy, Dominique, last time he was on with us, said this guy should have gotten Super Bowl MVP. Chris Jones made an enormous play in that game. And here he is saying some of the stuff that he does to get under the skin of Tom Brady.
You called it crap talking, which I actually like that. You were crap talking Brady, and you were getting it in his head. Do you think you actually got in his head?
I mean, I got him to say something back to me.
What'd he say?
I'm going to leave that unnoticed, undisclosed. You know, Brady was a good guy. He cussed me out, but I loved it. But that's the first time I've seen Brady cuss a D lineman out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously I was doing something right.
I'm assuming that you said to Tom Brady, like, you'll tire.
I mean, along those words. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brady got up so fast. That's the quickest I ever seen Brady move. I feel like, especially quarterbacks, because they just on a hiatus. You know, it's quarterback and D-line. Those are two different type of class. Mm-hmm. So when y'all are able to clash up, you talk your you say how you feel to him. If he on the ground, you know, you call him an old or get your old up or you need to tire.
Yeah, all of that stuff sounds like the language that the young in the ecosystem of survival of the fittest do to the old. And I can imagine Tom Brady getting upset by that. But this has a long history. Kyle VandenBosch chased his Aaron Rodgers around just yelling, I'm going to get you. And then you had the other story that I love is that Derek Wolfe in Denver says that he's going to eat your children. That's something that he has said to Tom Brady.
From
so
the Mike Tyson
of
school of trash talk. So I do like that Tom Brady got upset, because you know when you get upset is when you touch a nerve. That interview, the whole interview was very interesting. We talk about how he ran a 4.5, I believe, at the combine with certain parts of his body out that should not be out in public. He's an enormously talented player and a smart guy. We tend not to have enough room in our heads for any other players other than quarterbacks, and there's like room for like a couple D linemen. I think we should make enough space to have him in there, because as you said, I thought he was the actual MVP of the Super Bowl, and he is very young. He's going to continue to be great going forward, and he's a great talker too, so I hope no one gets to him and gets him to shut up and be more corporate. Keep talking your talk.
But my focus here is on Tom Brady, because Tom Brady revealed an insecurity here. He revealed a vulnerability here, and maybe that is obvious, but it speaks to a larger kind of truth about all of us. Confidence, true psychological confidence, is not something to be won or even really defended. Like, Tom Brady has how many Super Bowls, how many MVPs of all kinds, how many millions of dollars, over $200 million, a supermodel wife. He does not need to give a bleep about what Chris Jones is saying. The mere fact that he's playing football at 43 is a victory. And yet, even that guy, by the way, like so many other of our greatest athletes, Michael Jordan, actually kind of insecure. Kevin Durant, kind of insecure. Tom Brady, obviously more insecure than we thought, because why? He's a human being. He was looking outside of himself for what confidence is supposed to be.
Is it possible that Zion could win Rookie of the Year?
Why isn't it possible? Basically, every expectation that we have had for this guy, and they were a lot of expectations when he's been healthy, he's either met them or exceeded them. So I ask you, what are your expectations for them the second half of the season? Because never mind the advanced metrics that show you that he's doing ridiculously dominant things at 19 years old. That team was dreadful at one point this season. That team is now fun and interesting, and he's taken everyone with him. It's obvious that he's as good as any rookie that we've seen. What happened, Dominique? You're cynical about this?
I think that it's possible, but I don't think it's likely. I'd actually be one of the people who'd be kind of annoyed by this. I would understand if it was an argument about proving his value, but saying that he's rookie of the year because the second half of the year he's really improved his team, like, completely discredits what Morant has been doing for the whole season. Like, that team was also terrible. They're projected to win like 26 games, and he has them above that before the All-Star break. If he can do this for the entire season, what Zion is doing for half of the season, it would be absurd to me to give Rookie of the Year to Zion. It just seems unfair.
But it's also unfair because we know how this story is eventually going to end. Like, we eat our young in the sports media. That is what we do. And so I am tempted to say that actually Zion Williamson is eating everybody else, that he is the guy who's going to prove all of us wrong, give him Rookie of the Year, give him all of the accolades and historical comparisons. But when I tell you that the guy is scoring in line through his first 10 games in the NBA with Michael Jordan and Allen Iverson and Shaquille O'Neal, what it mostly feels like I'm doing, because it's only 10 games, it feels like I'm just slathering him in gravy. Like, yes, here's more hype, here's more compliment. And yet, what we're going to do at the end, we're going to tell him that actually you weren't as good as we thought.
How about Teammate of the Year? Do you guys think that this right here gets him a nomination for Teammate of the Year? No.
Oh.
I got no time for anybody. No high five for you.
I was just kind of uncomfortable by that 80-year-old man walk that he has. It makes me nervous.
It is, right?
Like,
it
that's
is.
All I saw. I didn't see the high five.
It's how I walk.
That's all I saw.
Coming up next on my Soul TV show.
Listen to his teammates. He decides from very far away. Flawlessly done. Bang.
Time to play the game. That's everyone's Valentine.
No, don't do this.
Oh,
no, don't do
what?
Sensuality. Wait a minute. He's got props. Where
American
did he get props
American Beauty
from?
Remake
Wait
is
a
this?
Minute. What just happened there? I didn't realize that we had props. Please stop doing that. You give us topics and events, we question them. Let the two
to
sensual.
The intern
Let's go.
Who is doing that, please
Family
know
show.
That you have allies.
Do you question whether Steven Adams should be proud of this or if he just got lucky?
Okay, before we get to the video of Steven Adams making his first three-pointer ever, I would like to show the audience Chris Paul seeing Steven Adams under another circumstance, shooting with two hands, and then telling everybody involved in Steven Adams specifically, hey, don't shoot air balls with two hands from half court. Shoot with one hand next time. So this is, look, do it that way, okay? And Steven Adams, who, while being a pirate, is also very good at learning and finding ways to listen to his teammates, he decides from very far away, flawlessly done, bang. And then the Antoine Walker shimmy shaking of the nipple.
This is so wildly hypocritical of you, Dan. You bring me onto this show and you drill me about Ben Simmons. And meanwhile, here is Steven Adams, who has not made a three until that point, and he just throws it up and you celebrate it like, wow, they're finally a shooter, a big man shooter.
He's maybe one it doesn't away matter. From Simmons. He's one away
maybe
from Simmons.
Maybe it doesn't
on the
matter in the first place. Maybe none of that actually matters to how good a big man is at basketball. How about that?
I can't imagine that an analytics focused guy like you is going to argue that the 3-point shot doesn't matter, or maybe it doesn't actually matter in basketball. But all that aside, I don't think Steven Adams should be the one that's proud. It should be Chris Paul, the basketball savant, who saw that and made and just turned Steven Adams into a half-court shooter. I think that's the person who should be proud, and we should be impressed and applauding, not the student, the teacher.
Guys, Taj Gibson, I don't remember how many teams ago he was in OKC, but he had something like this as well. Even more impressive, maybe, than this barbarian who plays for OKC now.
Oh.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
That is
yes.
better.
Wow. General rule of thumb. If the ball cannot be seen on screen from that normal broadcast perspective, awesome things are going to happen.
Can we see the end of that again? I just want to see who the player was under the basket when I want you to feel all under the basket. I don't know who this player is, but I want you to feel all of his, like, oh my God, Taj Gibson really did that to us. Really? Taj Gibson. That's Pat Connaughton of the dunk contest, ladies and gentlemen.
My guy, Patty.
Don't underestimate him.
Do you question if this is a significant athletic feat?
All right. Evidently, only Dominic Foxworth, former professional athlete, is capable of questioning whether someone has an athletic feat as
a
resume.
I'll be the judge.
Item.
Let me see.
Let's see. Let's see what we have here. Oh, God. That seems stupid and dumb.
I mean, a lot of significant athletic feats are stupid and dumb, but I have to say, this is impressive, but it's not an athletic feat. Like, there's nothing about what he did there was all that athletic. Like, it was good driving. It was excellent understanding of science. But it wasn't athletic. It was just like a jumping push-up.
Right? Do you know what it also wasn't? It wasn't good policing. Can we play that video again? Can we count the number of police cars in the background? 1, 2, 3, 4. What are you guys doing? Where are you?
Why does it have a bulldozer on the front? Look at that. That's an unbelievably bad car.
Dan, it's called a snowplow. Maybe you don't have that in Miami, but it's for snow. Snow is a frozen phase of water. And when
see?
It comes down to the ground, yeah. Cars have to push it around because it's hard to drive on
about
it.
That.
Highly questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that hopes Poppy's bathroom break is over soon. See?
It's been a long time, right?
Oh, no. Yeah.
You give us something that's on television, and we will tell you if we're intrigued. We are concerned for my father's bowels.
My dad is a urologist in case we need to make a call.
Tonight on ESPN, the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game.
Oh, Poppy, who are the coaches for this one? Who are the coaches for the Celebrity All-Star?
Will Bound and The Mouth.
The Mouth. My father calls Stephen A. Smith The Mouth. That's right. And they've got beef. They've got old man social media beef. Here we go. We've got a gift sent out by Stephen A. Smith, and that's on Michael Jordan. And how does Will Bound counter? Okay, that is a fat-faced Jordan right there with an amazing dunk. Dominique, how about you? Are you intrigued?
I am absolutely intrigued because watching those two guys who are kind of high-strung at times trying to convince celebrities to play basketball in any uniform way with all the pressure on the line, I can't wait till it gets to the end because I know they both sincerely want to win.
I mean, how much pressure is there really?
No, they care.
Come on, how much pressure?
What's more important to media gas bags than getting their one chance to show that they're good at sports or coaching or whatever? Nothing.
That's a very good point.
Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am very intrigued, see, because I don't think those guys, either of them, Stephen A. or Mike Wilbon, really know what a GIF is. I want to see them try to operate computers as much as I want to watch them coach a basketball game. So insofar as any of this is involved...
That'd be a better challenge if we gave them both smartphones and then challenged them to accomplish something there.
The newest ESPN show. Poppy, how about you? Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. Are you kidding me? I got my money on the guy from the Windy City. You know, Wilbon has been expecting for this moment all his life. You know,
he's been waiting.
You can see they have been practicing in the baseball field. You know, every time he goes out there throwing that pitch, you know, he's ready for the challenge.
He's not ready for the challenge. That pitch does not prove that Wilbon is ready for any challenges.
Oh, I missed you, Poppy.
Tomorrow night on TNT, NBA All-Star Saturday Night.
Oh, look at this guy. He's all excited. Aaron.
The All-Star game. Are you kidding
me? Yes, Aaron Gordon is in the dunk competition again. He's been hurt, but now, let's just check in with the last time Aaron Gordon was in a dunk competition so that you can see. Yeah, that's totally absurd.
Oh,
okay.
Lordy.
That's not the dunk competition. That's just that is JaVale McGee, my father's favorite in the background. Okay, now we're just showing dunks that aren't from the dunk competition. That's right. And so Dwight Howard is one of the oldest one of the oldest participants ever in this. The guys in the shipping container on the radio show have suggested, like a mercenary from the dunking world, someone who's not a professional NBA player being in this contest. I like that idea. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I like that idea, but if I have any betting odds, I'm putting them on Pat Connaughton, because as we know, the dunk contest is about perception, less so about the dunks. The taller guys don't get much advantage.
Taller guys.
And smaller guys get a lot more advantage in the dunk contest. Right. Pat Connaughton. Right.
Okay, very good. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued, and Dominique, I agree with you, but I don't see height, so really a non-factor.
there you go. That's nice.
What
That's
I do think, though, Dan, if I could just sneak this in again, Baby Bjorn, Aaron Gordon, Baby Bjorn, two-year-old, give the ball to the two-year-old, jump, two-year-old dunks, win the contest.
Okay, again, last time I told you of the liability issue, you're going to have a two-year-old.
I don't care
you're
about the liabilities.
Flying from the rim into one of the rows. Poppy, how about you? Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. Are you kidding me? I got my money on the sleeper. You know, this guy from the Heat, Derrick Jones Jr., boy, that guy can make it happen, those dunks, you know? That's right. His nickname is Airplane Mode. You know, what can I say? He can go up and down.
That's right. Up and down. That's right.
Airplane Mode, another reference that neither Stephen A. Smith or Michael Wilbon understand.
Or my father, really.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
My father is relieved in every way after spending so much time in the bathroom. Dominique Foxworth, check him out on The Undefeated. High noon for Pablo Torre. Have a good weekend.
Sorry, I have big Valentine plans. With your mom.
Oh, God.
Poppy.
I felt that on my neck. My neck. Oh, that's disgusting.
Get
disgusting. Oh, unpleasant.